All right, guys, we're going to get your Monday Night Raw review going in just a second. The go-home show to SummerSlam this Sunday, and what a weird show. And I don't know why I felt like it was a weird show. Very uneven, but had some really bright spots and some not-so-bright spots, some confusing spots. Did HBK no-sell the punt kick? Retribution, of course, made their presence felt in another strange way as WWE deals with the worst security team in the history of the world. So we're going to get into all that, so much more, and a couple of announcements. So stay right here. Hey, so if you're into music creation, or maybe you're thinking about getting into music creation, maybe you're talented, and you just don't have the right connections. Well, that's where Global Star Entertainment comes in. They're looking for music content creators of all different genres. You can check them out on YouTube at Global Star Entertainment. That's the name of their channel. Or you can hit them up on Instagram at Global Star Remo. That's Global Star R-E-E-M-O. So give them a follow on Instagram. And again, head on over to YouTube and check out Global Star Entertainment. Get your voice heard today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. So, welcome, everybody, and get yourself ready for SummerSlam. SummerSlam is, 4 days away as I speak now? And that happened fast, didn't it? It felt like SummerSlam was weeks and weeks away after Backlash, right? I think that was the last pay-per-view with the greatest wrestling match ever. And here we are, boom, 5 weeks later, summer's basically over. And I don't want to say that for sure, because I know, look, the heat lasts for most of the nation into like late September. Up here in the Northeast, once the calendar switches to September, I mean, it's you're dead. You're dead in the water if you want heat. I mean, outside of like a rogue day of like 90 degrees, and then it's back to like, you know, 60s, and then you know what's coming of, you know, 13 months of winter. It's a depressing time, you know, once the calendar gets to September and October. I mean, yeah, we have football in a very different way if you're a football fan, with no fans, as really all sports are dealing with no fans right now. And it is, you know, I guess it's fun if you like the fall, if you love this pumpkin spice, you know, pumpkin spice everything, if you love Halloween, which Halloween decorations are already up. It's just crazy. I mean, it seems to be getting earlier and earlier every year. So, hey, summer is almost over. We're in the tail end of it, so enjoy it for those of us here north of, like, Pennsylvania. Enjoy it because summer's about to head out, and it'll be they're predicting a nice fall. But anyway, what the hell am I talking about the weather? Let's talk about Monday Night Raw because, man, I will say this. I think it was a good show. Overall, I think it did some good things for some storylines. It was also kind of weird, especially in the women's division. Listen to this, right? You had Mickie James come back. For what? Why would they have had Mickie James come back? A massive figure in the Divas era, had many memorable matches with Trish Stratus, a memorable character overall, comes back after, 6 months, maybe longer? And with no fanfare, no reason, no explanation, and have her just basically in a match with Natalya that meant nothing, and have her be counted out. Which, who the hell loses by count out today? Number one. Number two, as I said, no explanation, nothing, no promo, no reason why this match is happening. Just a meaningless, you talk about a meaningless match? That is the definition of a meaningless match. And number three, you have WWE basically acknowledging that this is a throwaway match by having Seth Rollins out there to talk over whatever's going on in the ring. Instead of focusing on what should be focused on and what's happening in the ring, it's Seth Rollins grilling Samoa Joe, who seemed to be a heat magnet last night, for just people grilling him about stuff, who seems to have an inside line into, I don't know, to what's going on somehow, into security footage, into Rey Mysterio. And Seth Rollins is grilling Samoa Joe. How do you know that he's going to be here? How do you know he's going to be here? How do you know he's going to be here? And Joe wouldn't give up his sources, which apparently is more important than what's going on inside the ring. And I know that what we saw in the ring was meaningless in terms of build, in terms of reasoning, in terms of any kind of promos, nothing. I mean, you talk about zero emotional investment. And I hate saying that for Natalya and Mickie James. You know, these women have had really good careers, and they're brought in for nothing. They were brought in for Seth Rollins is what they were brought in for. Why? Mickie James must have been like, you want me to do what? Vince called her on the phone. Hey, we want you back on Raw. Cool, what do you got in store? Well, you're going to be facing Natalya. Well, why? What's the backstory of me and Natalya? Well, I don't know, pal. It won't even matter because Seth Rollins is going to be grilling Samoa Joe on the outside, so fans aren't even going to be paying attention. And basically, that's probably how the conversation went. I mean, seriously. And I'm not trying to start off on a negative note here. You've got a lot of other podcasts that do that and just complain the whole time. Look, I've been guilty to it sometimes, but it's when the product's deserving. This is just disrespectful. I mean, this is just flat-out disrespectful to Natalya and Mickie James. That's really what it comes down to. It's flat-out disrespectful. It was a segment that didn't need to happen. It was a segment that did not need to happen to further the storyline between Seth and Rey Mysterio and Dominic and Buddy Murphy, who was the fourth wheel. It was a segment that just straight-up didn't need to happen. They could have achieved that same concern by Seth in the backstage area and not include Samoa Joe. I mean, if they're trying to get Samoa Joe back into the ring, there's other ways to do it other than crapping on other matches and really disrespecting the people in the ring. I mean, that anyway. All right, moving on. But thank you, guys. I just wanted to get that off my chest right at the beginning. We're here we will be here 7 times a week now, starting Friday. Excuse me. We'll be having our co-host, as you know him, Anthony DeMarco, beginning his own show this Friday, August 21st. He'll be doing past rivalries. I don't know why that word is so difficult for me to pronounce, so I'm going to say it slowly. Rivalries. There we go. So he'll be doing that starting Friday, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he chooses. I know he's a big fan of the Ruthless Aggression era and into the PG era, the early PG era, so I have a feeling that it'll be through the 2002 to 2010 time frame. Good time frame, though. A lot of great matches, a lot of big stars during that time. So certainly no shortage of things to choose from. So that's going to be coming Friday. That's one of the announcements. The second announcement I have, I'll be on another podcast. Well, another YouTube channel, actually, in video form on the Botch Guys podcast. Or the Botch Guys podcast, Botch Guys YouTube channel. If you guys haven't subscribed to him, by the way, go ahead and subscribe to the Botch Guy. I mean, he has stuff up so quick. And if you want instant reaction and high energy and just authentic feel, I mean, seriously, go to the Botch Guy. He is one of the fastest growing wrestling YouTube channels. And be a part of it, because I'm going to be a part of it. He's going to be coming on this show. I'll be doing the audio. I think it's going to be a pretty regular thing. So definitely check him out. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube and look out for him here, right here on this feed in the coming weeks in audio form. So the third thing is that next Wednesday, I will be interviewing Chris Van Vliet. And if you guys don't know who he is, Google it. I'm very excited to have him on the show next Wednesday, which is typically a wrestling nostalgia show, but I have substituted the wrestling nostalgia for a special interview to be done with Chris. And a great guy, brilliant guy, big YouTube channel following, and has his own podcast, which you should check out. And very excited to be able to bring him onto the show. We'll talk for probably an hour, you know, about his story, how he got into where he is today, and just talk about the current WWE product. I mean, it's just your kind of casual conversation. I find that conversations just run best when you have bullet points and you don't have a script. Weird how that works. Same thing I would think happens with promos, but maybe I don't know any better. So, yeah, lots happening here, guys. Lots coming up, and I will be doing also, as I said, normally on Monday I don't do a show, but with the Botch Guy, you will see audio content coming your way Monday because it's SummerSlam Sunday. So I will not be doing a show Sunday. It'll be Saturday for the prediction show. So really just the bottom line is there's going to be a hell of a lot of content coming your way over the next week. A lot. So hopefully you have a job that you can tune out and maybe the boss isn't listening. Maybe you can kind of do both, right? And maybe you can multitask. I'm not a great multitasker. I mean, I remember when I had to try to do some work at my office and listen to wrestling, and I would just get caught up in the wrestling and basically just forget about my work. So I don't know if it's just part of my brain that just will not allow me to multitask or what it is. But nonetheless, thank you guys for joining us as a really long intro. And follow us really that the only place you can, because we're banned on Twitter. So banned on Twitter, banned on Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram at WWE_podcast. And that's where you can DM me or we can strike up a conversation. I'm really enjoying being able to talk to you guys through Instagram. I know, trust me, I miss Twitter a lot. I really do. I mean, I spent many years building up my followers there. It sucks. And I know that there's stuff going on Twitter. If I ever make my return, I mean, Twitter's going to break. So just be wary of that. It's been exactly 3 months now that I haven't had Twitter. It feels like 3 years. So if anybody has any connections with Twitter, like that knows somebody that actually works there, please like reach out and say, hey, sign a petition. I don't know. Maybe if you sign a petition to get me back, that'll maybe move a needle or two. But first things first, though, you guys know that you can call into the show or you can email the show to get your voice on the show. So that's what we have on tap for you guys right now. The first voicemail comes to us from, I believe it's a new, not a new listener, but somebody new contributing to the show. So let's take a listen, and then I'll, as always, respond on the backside.
Hi, Matt. This is Jeff from the Philippines, and I just want to give my opinion about the AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy rivalry for the Intercontinental Championship. I think Jeff Hardy should be the heel on this one because he just demanded for a championship and he never really won a number one contenders match. And he attacked AJ Styles even though Styles didn't do anything to him. And I listened to your weekend review and talking about the brand loyalty for the Survivor Series pay-per-view. And actually, I find the WWE draft ridiculous. Because if the WWE champion gets drafted to Raw, then the Universal Champion must be drafted to SmackDown. And the same goes for the United States Champion and the Intercontinental Champion. And actually, I hate that there's too much championship in the WWE main roster, because the more championship that there are, the less I care who are the champions. And that's all, Matt. Thank you and hope you're doing well.
Hey, so I'm not sure if it was you said Jeb or Jeff. So I'll just call you Jay, because I really didn't catch the very beginning. I listened to it a couple of times just to see if I could get the name. So I'll just call you Jay. So thank you so much. All the way from the Philippines. That's pretty damn cool. Thank you so much for listening. And let's get to your question. So your comments, rather. First things, Jeff Hardy. Should he be the heel in the AJ Styles match? You can make an argument for that. And yeah, the AJ Styles didn't technically attack Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy has just kind of went off on AJ, and he could be deemed the heel. More importantly, you have to remember that the golden rule in WWE. You don't always have to go through a number one contenders match. You don't have to technically earn it in some way. You don't have to go through a tournament. You just have to do one thing and one thing only. Y'all know where I'm going with this. Attack the champion. That's how you earn a championship match. 9 times out of 10, that is how you do it. Yes, WWE occasionally has their number one contenders matches, but the majority of it, how do they become the challenger? Even if the champion says, I'm never going to face you, no one deserves this title, as AJ did. Well, that changed in the blink of an eye, didn't it? When Jeff Hardy attacked AJ Styles on SmackDown. And why he put it on the line is also really mind-numbing to me. If I was booking this, if it was up to me, I would have made it a non-title match. Look, why is AJ saying, yeah, I'll put this championship on the line? No, he should have just said, if Hardy wants a piece of me, he's going to get it, but not for this championship. And then you find a stipulation to maybe add to the match. If Hardy beats AJ, then Hardy gets a championship match at SummerSlam. I mean, it's that simple. But all of a sudden, he went for like 15 minutes. Maybe that wasn't that long. Of talking about how nobody is worthy. No one is even second place to him. There's, the statistics show it. And then the next thing you know, boom, he just, just because Jeff Hardy hit him. Oh, okay, great. You get your championship match. It's such a backwards reward system. Makes no sense. None. But that's how WWE does it. And that's how they've done it for years and years. This isn't something new. Second thing, draft. Yeah, the draft is... Now, look, I have no problem with the concept of the draft. The concept is great. The concept in a perfect world with perfect conditions and perfect execution, I think is a great thing because you have two worlds that can do their own separate things, that can build stars on their own, and it does create or allow for new stars to be showcased. Because if you don't have a brand split and it's just the same storylines running through both shows, then it really takes away from the time that you could be building new stars. Because then you have two separate worlds rather than just one singular world with two platforms. So the concept of the draft, no problem. The problem is the execution. We don't even need to go back to how terrible last year was with the war room that Fox and USA had. That they suddenly all become just master gurus on who they should draft. I mean, it's laughable, and I'm not a fan of the way that they did it, and I know what they were going for, is authentic sports draft. I get it. I appreciate the effort, but even worse than the execution is the consistency of it. That, to me, is the worst part of it, is the consistency of WWE not being able to stick to their own rules. You want an example of what I'm talking about? The wild card rule. What about the other, I don't know the name of it, but the one they implemented like a month or two ago where they said, you can have 4 times a year, you can bring, 2 or 3 stars or whatever it was from one brand to the other. That was mentioned. Anybody remember that? That was like a couple of months ago. I think Michael Cole mentioned it. And that I guarantee will not be adhered to. So they want the brand split when it's convenient and when it fits the story. They don't want the brand split when it's hard. And that's the problem, because then it really hurts the integrity of the brand split, which makes you, care less about the brands, which makes you have zero brand loyalty as a fan. So the whole Survivor Series thing is just a bunch of nonsense, because how can you have brand loyalty to a brand you didn't choose, that they chose you, and suddenly you fight to the death for them? It's all under the same company. It's a total joke. But I like the concept of the draft if it was executed and it was just stuck to. For God's sakes. And they can't do it. They've proven it since they started the draft. All right. And last thing, too many championships. Yeah, I would agree. And, well, I would say strap in, because you might get another one with the Raw Underground Championship. That seems to be the hot rumor over the last couple of days, is that they could be adding yet another championship of the Raw Underground Championship. So, yes, it's simple supply and demand. Simple economics. The more of something that exists, the less it's worth. Money, that's what inflation does, right? So that's why when the government overspends and they just create more money, well, that means there's more money in circulation, which makes it worth less. And that macro example trickles down into every facet of life. the more of something that exists, the less it's worth. I don't even care if it's in a fictitious environment like pro wrestling. So, all right, thanks. I know we're a little bit long-winded on that, but thank you so much for the input and for listening, Jay. thank you so much, and feel free to call back. All right, we have one more voicemail, and then we're going to get to the full review here of Monday Night Raw. And by the way, if you want to get yourself in on this, if you're like, hey, how do I call in? How do I send a voicemail? Well, you can send an audio file in email form to realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can call the show at 518-952-0247. That's 518-952-0247. And it'll ring a few times. You'll hear my voice saying, you know, this is the voicemail, you know, let me know what you think, blah, blah, blah. It's just like a regular voicemail, except it's not manned, and it's just a simple mailbox. So that's what this one is, and I think I know who this is. You'll recognize this voice, but let's listen, and then I'll respond.
Hey, it's the Waz. I just have a few things I want to rant about. Suddenly, Braun Strowman is evil because he shaved his head. Don't buy it. I need to see more. I don't necessarily need to see him become a heel. Throwing her up in the air and cutting the lights out so we don't see her hit the ground doesn't mean she didn't hit the ground or the ring. I'm sorry, but I just didn't care for it. The whole Big E still coming out with the New Day music, it's gotta go. He's gotta stop. He needs to do his own thing. I'm tired of it. I couldn't buy into it. I didn't care for it. I did like seeing him stick up for himself and get in the face of, some of the guys and just dealing with them like he did, but he's got to get his own gimmick and stop New Day stuff. The whole thing with Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles, like, come on. I mean, I want to see them fight, but AJ Styles wasn't going to let him fight until he smacked him in the face. Now he wants to let him fight, and he's going to let him have a chance at the title? Come on. It's just who's writing these stories? They need to do better. It's just stupid. And I don't know what's going on with these guys in black, but it's interesting, and I hope it actually turns out to be something, whether it's CM Punk or something like that, or maybe it's also connected to the guy that was behind the scenes on SmackDown before, watching the video and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, but they got to do something, and I hope it holds up. Otherwise, it's just been pointless. And everybody being there, they don't know about stuff in the back, yet we saw it on the screen. How would they not seen it on the screen? How are they seeing it on the screen at the booth? That's just dumb. It don't make any sense. Anyways, just wanted to throw that out and rant a little bit. Hopefully we can get some things adjusted, especially for SmackDown, because Raw is kicking its butt right now.
Hey, Waz. So first things first, yeah, AJ and Hardy. I just addressed that in the previous caller, so I won't reiterate that and re-rant on that, but I totally agree about the championship match. Yes, so second thing, is Braun evil because he shaved his head? Well, I would say this. I think that it at least shows that they're consistent with the change that every character goes through when they come in contact with the Fiend. I like that they're consistent with that. I don't think that him just shaving his head will necessarily make him evil, or, you know, pancaking Alexa Bliss makes him evil. As I said on my show in the Week in Review this past week with Michael Gross, I think that this is not a true heel turn for Braun Strowman. And I think it's for a big major reason. Number one is SmackDown is in need of desperate need of top babyface talent, right? So if Braun Strowman goes heel, well, what's he going to do? Align himself with Bray Wyatt? I don't think that would make a whole lot of sense, given that Braun Strowman has had pretty good success on his own, and someone is needed to counteract Braun Strowman, or Bray Wyatt, rather. And number two, I think it's done. The reason that we are seeing a false heel turn by Braun, in terms of character-wise, storyline-wise, is because Braun Strowman is trying to get the Fiend to buy all in, that he is truly this evil monster now, and that nothing affects him, that even if he does truly have feelings for Alexa Bliss, that he is trying to prove to the Fiend that he doesn't have it to protect her and to show him he doesn't have a weakness. So that's what I think about that. Big E, you guys know what I feel about that. The whole New Day gimmick died for me about 5 years ago. And Big E is absolutely just, murdering his, well, creative is murdering his singles career if they think that he can just ride the coattails of being that member of the New Day, the muscle of the New Day. I don't think so. Big E needs an identity. He needs an identity outside of the cartoon, gyrating, inside joke, weird, awkward at times, Big E that is great at selling cereal and unicorn horns and pancakes and merchandise, but needs to draw true money. Needs the only way that you can draw true money is get your own identity. Stop with the basically just beating a dead horse. Big E needs his own run. He needs his own feel, and right now he doesn't have it. And maybe they're working on it. So, and the last thing on Big E too, and I've said this, but I can't iterate it enough. I need Big E to stop giving me promo voice, Big E. I don't need promo voice, promo school, Big E. I need real Big E, whoever that is, talking to me. Not promo Big E, if that makes sense. Anybody else feel that same way? Because we've got promo Big E for the last 7 years. I've had enough of it. So, what is that? Redemption. That was the last note I had. Yeah, they need to do more right now. And when I say more, I don't mean attack more production trucks, attack more staff. Show us that nobody's safe, which is the message they're trying to send us. That production, staff, fans, announcers, nobody is safe. And it's reaching the point now where it's getting obnoxious. And it's time to do something different. It's time to get them to give a message. And maybe SummerSlam is that destination. They have to have a big impact at SummerSlam. Retribution has to have something there. They have to do something. And I think they will do something big in a big match. So stay tuned for my predictions on that in this week's prediction show on Saturday with a co-host to be determined. But it's time for Retribution to give us more than just, okay, you're about destruction. Great. You're playing on the current political environment and, for lack of a better term, ripping off real life events of the destruction of cities around the country. And you're using that in a storyline to further your cause of anti-WWE wrestlers, I'm assuming these people are. And WWE hiring the worst security team in the history of security teams. They can't, I mean, seriously, if they truly had a work environment this unsafe for non-performers, non-wrestlers, you know, I'm already speaking corporate talk, then wouldn't they have police? Wouldn't they have massive lawsuits on their hands of at least some of the announcers or referees or production staff filing, unsafe work environment or suing them for an unsafe work environment? I mean, it's just it's getting a little absurd that WWE, as a company in storyline mode, is not doing what they should be doing to protect their staff and maybe hiring police, hiring security guards that actually look the part. Instead of hiring the local indie performers that look like they just crawled out of their mom's basement. I mean, seriously, I'm being serious. So the security team, this crack security team, is about as bad as it gets. I mean, it's just, but nonetheless, Retribution has to give us something. We need more. We need more, a message. We need a purpose. Is it just destruction? I mean, is that the purpose? That they don't have a purpose? Other than to try to tear down WWE, that seems to be it. But we need somebody to emerge as a leader. We need somebody as a spokesman. And WWE to at least look like they're trying to protect their company. And somehow these people are in the building when no one knows they're in the building. They somehow go unspotted. You know, 15 people in masks somehow go unspotted. Yay. Yeah, it's getting a little bit repetitive. And to be honest, this week I think it took away from the from Raw because it interrupted Drew's promo that I actually wanted to see and hear. And maybe that's the point, that I'm annoyed at them. But I don't think that the sacrifice of just getting annoyed with a group I don't know, and I don't know what they are here for, I don't know how long they'll be here, for the sacrifice of being disconnected from Drew McIntyre's promo, your WWE champion, not worth it. Not worth it. I mean, really, I was interested in hearing it, and I was distracted. I know they were trying to, they're messing with the production. Can we just do something different with them? I don't know. It's starting to wear thin on me. So, all right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then on the other side, we're going to get to Monday Night Raw. So stay right here.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Hey, so if you're into music creation, or maybe you're thinking about getting into music creation, maybe you're talented and you just don't have the right connections. Well, that's where Global Star Entertainment comes in. They're looking for music content creators of all different genres. You can check them out on YouTube at Global Star Entertainment. That's the name of their channel. Or you can hit them up on Instagram at Global Star Remo. That's Global Star REEMO. So give them a follow on Instagram. And again, head on over to YouTube and check out Global Star Entertainment. Get your voice heard today.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, let's get into more of Monday Night Raw. Let's dive deep here. And I mentioned a little bit about Retribution before the break and how they took away from Drew McIntyre, which is not a good thing, not worth it. And, you know, they beat up people in the production truck and, you know, had crowbars on their throats and, you know, who knows what they're really after. But, I mean, they haven't, also this, they haven't done anything too egregious where I think they'd be in trouble with their sponsors. Because they are, as I said, we all know they are clearly, and WWE admitted this on the air, they are playing on true life events. They are. I mean, they just are. And that's exactly what this group was formulated from. The brainchild was probably from Vince McMahon seeing this happening across the world and going, damn it, how cool would that be to have a group like that in WWE? Well, again, the danger is you are playing on events that have affected a lot of people, where many people have lost their lives, you know, businesses have been burned, people have lost their jobs, people have been injured, right? Family members and friends injured or dead, and you're playing on this being pretty ballsy by WWE. And so far, they haven't crossed the line. They have, I'd say, stayed the course with this group of not doing anything absurd. I mean, the Molotov cocktails on the power supply or the generator, whatever it was a little, you know, a clear knockoff of what's going on. The flipped over car, the cinder block through the window. So I'd say that their level of violence is about par for the course so far. They are towing the line very, very softly right now. And I think they need to make it more pro wrestling. And I often advocate for wrestling to be more like real life. In this case, for the sake of the company and for the sake of maybe this storyline being really good, they should bring it back from real life to pro wrestling. And I don't know if I've ever recommended that. I don't think I ever have. But for the sake of this storyline, for it to not die, and I'm thinking of Muhammad Hassan back in 2005, when his career was just shot dead because the UPN, what they saw were right before or right after the London bombings. They had masked men come into the ring and carry away Daivari as a sacrifice. And Muhammad Hassan was a brilliant heel, by the way. Like, I'm going to do a podcast on him sometime. But he was taken off the air. He was doing an amazing job on one of the hottest heels in the company. The fastest I've ever seen a heel grow was Muhammad Hassan back in 2004, 2005. And it was shot dead. I guess I probably shouldn't use that phraseology. It was stopped in its tracks. How about that? That's probably a little better for today's political environment. It was stopped in its tracks, unless you're offended by trains, by UPN and the network saying, this has to go. This character has to go now. And his career was done, absolutely done from there. And I'm fearful that this could follow suit if they aren't careful. They need to be very careful. They need to stay the hell away from Black Lives Matter. Like, just don't mention it. They can't in a storyline. I mean, I, I'm very nervous about this story because it is so damn close to real life events. So we'll have to see what happens. But Retribution, just it's par for the course. I think, again, the big next step for them is at SummerSlam, whatever they do. It's going to be attacking somebody, doing something big. Just, you know, I don't know, interrupting a championship match. Maybe that's how Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre end, is in absolute chaos and them left in a pile, like a heap, right, of these people, you know, coming out and ruining a championship match. It has to re-ratchet it up to that next level. And I don't mean the next level of violence. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying of storyline, pro wrestling storyline. They need to do something much more impactful than just destroy inanimate objects and people that don't matter. And I mean that in a way that is respectful, because I'm not saying the announcers and the production team don't matter, but I'm saying that in terms of the storyline, who's going to actually follow through on the story and eventually happen with a match? Yeah, it's going to be the performers, the wrestlers. Geez, they almost got me there. So that's, I think, going to happen at SummerSlam. And moving on to the next thing here on Raw that popped in my head, because we don't have a format here, is Zelina Vega. And I want to touch on this because I got some backlash from people that I was destroying Bianca Belair last week for the way that she completely, you know, went off on Zelina Vega. And that, you know, she basically admitted she had no evidence, and then she just attacked her because she's a hothead and then went all ghetto on her. I mean, that's exactly what she did. I mean, that's just what it is. And I stand by my words, because yes, we were proven right that Zelina Vega apparently poisoned Montez Ford's cup. We didn't see what she put in there, right? We didn't actually see her dump something in the cup. So there's still a little bit level of ambiguity, right? There's still that level of, well, what the hell is she actually doing there? I mean, there were other objects there. Maybe she didn't pour anything in the cup. Maybe she was doing something else, and eventually that's revealed. But let's say, for argument's sake, that she did, in fact, poison Montez Ford's cup. Let's just go with that, and that is, in fact, a true statement. Fine. I still stand by my words last week. I mean, as a babyface, you should not be attacking anybody unless there's evidence of it other than just a hunch. And, yeah, your hunch turned out to be right. But... as a babyface, you just don't do that. And you don't act obnoxious about it either. So I'm not sure what people, in terms of the personality of Bianca Belair, and really the Street Profits for that matter, what their appeal is. Maybe they're high energy. Maybe people like that type of personality. I personally don't. I love their... Look, in-ring, Bianca Belair is A+. In-ring, she is... she is probably stronger than some men on the roster. And Montez Ford, yeah, he's crazy athletic. He's very, very energetic and loves to shake the ropes and make crazy faces. He can fly like an eagle. I mean, really, he is very athletic as well. Montez Ford, or Angelo Dawkins, he's probably the third wheel in the group. I mean, he just is. He fits well. I guess I'm just turned off by their personality of just kind of a arrogant talking and kind of slang. It's not my thing. As performers, fine. And you know what? Bianca Belair, she should be women's champion someday in Raw. No question. Maybe even, you know, in early 2021. Absolutely. But as currently constituted, I am not a fan of that trio. And so I stand by my words last week, even though if, again, for argument's sake, let's say that she actually poisoned it and it's 100% true. I stand by my words because it's a babyface. You just don't do that. So, all right, moving on. Next, I want to talk about the close of the show. I was going to save this for the end of this show, but this is something I really want to talk about because it was predictable, but weird. And I will say this, the big thing I liked about this segment was that Shawn Michaels was in Shawn Michaels mode. It wasn't the wacky, zany, not take myself too seriously, pretend to, you know, be winded by the time I get to the ring, joking kind of in a, yeah, I used to do this wrestling thing, but I'm just here to have fun. I really don't like that version of Shawn Michaels, and we've seen it way too often when he comes back with Triple H doing the DX thing at, you know, 50 years old. I do not like that version of Shawn Michaels. When he's serious and he gets into Shawn Michaels mode, he can contribute in a major way. And that's exactly the version of Michaels we got this past Monday, especially the backstage promo with Drew. I learned more about Drew McIntyre in 5 minutes of Michaels talking than I have in 5 months of McIntyre being champion. It was such a great way to put him over, talking about how, you know, that Drew couldn't let him down, and just the struggles he's been through. He's talked about the road that he's traveled has been too damn hard to stop now. I mean, it was great. Talked about the perseverance. It talked about the determination. All of it was wrapped up very well by a Hall of Famer. Excellent. I mean, it was very well done, and I think Drew came out better for it. Michaels comes out after and, you know, basically told Drew, hey, keep your distance, I'm good, and comes out and talks about what Randy Orton did to Ric Flair last week. And I think you know where we're going here. I think we all saw it coming a mile away. We just didn't know when or how. So Michaels, you know, cuts a promo, is about to leave the ring, and bam, Randy Orton comes in from behind, hits him with an RKO, and then a punt kick. And, you know, I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. I don't know if it's going to do anything or if this was supposed to be sold this way. But Michaels sold it differently than all the other punt kicks that have happened thus far. To Big Show, to Edge, to Christian, to Ric Flair. They all laid there, as they should. You get kicked in the head, you get a concussion, you're out. And instead, Michaels kind of like bounced around and then almost immediately kind of got on four, you know, on all fours, and then kind of sat up a little. And it's almost like he no-sold it. And maybe that was the purpose. I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, what that was about. If Michaels was maybe not instructed to just lay there. I don't know. Maybe it was a miscue. Maybe it was purposeful. But Drew McIntyre came to the rescue again. Randy Orton fled. And Randy Orton tried to hit an RKO on, or tried to attack Drew McIntyre from behind. Drew gets a little bit of retribution, tosses him around, and then heads back into the ring to be concerned for Shawn. And that leads to Randy Orton being able to recover, get back in the ring, RKO on Drew, and leaves. Which, you know, Drew was able to recover in time enough to have Raw go off the air, and they have another just intense stare down. So, again, that was a weird no-sell from HBK, maybe just by design. But having Drew go out there and attack Orton after everything he said about how angry he is at Orton, and only to get retribution for maybe like 30 seconds and then turn his back to Orton, kind of made Drew look a little foolish. And I know the idea is, well, he was concerned about Shawn, who's concerned for a friend. Well, let the medical staff take care of that. That's what they're there for. You worry about the guy that actually just caused the damage and then is looking to do that exact damage to you and take him out. Injure him. Instead, he gives him time to recover. It made him look a little foolish. It didn't hurt Drew in terms of anything long term, but just one of those like momentary things of like, oh, come on, Drew. Don't give him any time to recover. You need to decimate this man. And I'm telling you, they have done such a masterful job at Randy Orton that when Randy Orton finally gets himself into a situation that he can't get himself out of, as Michael said will happen, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch, and I hope it's in front of fans. I would wait as long as it takes to get back in front of fans to see this happen. It can't be in front of the NXT trainee, quote, fan robots. It needs to be in front of authentic fans. And not virtually in this Thunderdome experience, which how the hell they're doing that, by the way, I don't know. I'll get to that in a minute. But this needs to be a beautiful, beautiful destruction of Randy Orton to literally a bloody pulp. Take away PG, make this thing bloody. It needs to be after everything Randy Orton has done. No holding back, no hesitation like Edge had at WrestleMania of doing the concerto to Randy. Why he had hesitation, I'll never know. But it needs to be brilliant. Because what's going to happen is, I think this. You're going to have Randy Orton be surrounded by everyone he's ever victimized. And then Edge is going to come out and finish the job. I mean, it's going to be a brilliant thing to watch. All of these men that he has victimized are going to come back to haunt him. Christian, Big Show, Flair, HBK, they're all coming back, and then obviously Edge. He's up to 5 enemies he's made now. 5. And they're all going to come back to haunt. And I can't wait. It's going to be a beautiful thing to watch. As a fan, I have not felt this angry, a good anger, towards a pro wrestling heel in a long time. MJF is getting there, and I don't watch AEW as much as I probably should, but MJF is really turning me to wanting to watch the product on a weekly basis. And it's not because I don't like the product or think it's not good. I just, as you know, I don't have the time. I barely get through Raw and SmackDown each week to talk about it. But MJF is up there. Randy Orton is up there. Two different kinds of heels, by the way. I'm not saying one's better than the other necessarily. But certainly Randy Orton is the best heel that WWE has going right now. Better than The Fiend. Because The Fiend's still kind of a cool heel. Yeah, he attacked Alexa Bliss, but so did Braun Strowman. Does anybody feel any empathy for Alexa Bliss? I don't. She attacked Braun Strowman, slapped him several times like a fool, and gets pancaked for it. I don't have any empathy there. So, The Fiend isn't somebody that, you know, I'm going to, you know, stand there and boo and just wait for somebody to take him out. He's kind of a cool attraction. You know, he's kind of a dark, evil man, but you're kind of drawn to him. I guess that's the part of the evil that makes it really evil, is that it's so evil that you're attracted to it and don't even care that it could harm you. That just got deep. All right, let's move on to the Seth Rollins segment with Dominic and Rey Mysterio, who returned. He was rumored to return all night. He was, in fact, in the building. He comes out with his mask with the one eye patch built into the mask. And he talks about how he's never felt anger like that in his life. And that he wants his son to destroy Seth Rollins, give him what he's got coming, and he'll be there to help. You know, he'll have his back at SummerSlam. And what makes this weird, if this is a street fight and there's no rules, couldn't Rey Mysterio just also assist in beating the holy hell out of Seth Rollins? Or vice versa, right? Couldn't you have Buddy Murphy come out and just dismantle Dominic? You could. And maybe the equalizer for both are Rey Mysterio and Buddy Murphy, who even themselves out, and then you eventually have a one-on-one, which I've said this many times. If Dominic comes anywhere close to beating Seth Rollins, I will not be happy. As a fan, after everything they've done with Seth, to have Dominic, a guy that looks like he, you know, just graduated high school, come out and beat Seth Rollins, it just won't make any sense. Zero. With a world-class athlete like that, and everything that Seth has done, I do not need it being torn down by a first-time performer. So, wrestler. Jeez. One of these, they're going to get me. They're going to get me eventually. They're breaking me down slowly by using the term performer and not wrestler. You could even see HBK, by the way, flinch at saying the word wrestler on TV, right? When he talked about Ric Flair being the greatest wrestler, he paused. You could see his brain doing the calculations of, performer? Or can I say wrestler? It's Ric Flair. I'm HBK. I'm not, you know. What are they going to say to me at this point? And he went with wrestler. I mean, his brain was doing, you know, like 1,000 calculations in half a second. And is Vince going to be pissed at this? Right? But you could see it. Watch it. Go watch Raw if you don't believe me. It's that part of the promo. But the Seth Rollins thing here was, I think, well done. They have really sold the hell out of Dominic's 30 cane shots, which are damn brutal. And I can guarantee will scar him in some way physically. He will have scars from that. That was brutal. And I know they're trying to garner sympathy and gain respect for the guy that we, as a fans, just met. And, unless you've been watching since, you know, 2000 and early 2000s when they brought him in. they had Dominic and Rey Mysterio pull a fast one on Seth Rollins and Murphy. And back away when they got challenged, And I said to myself, that's, you know, you don't see that almost ever. And I'm thinking, well, they are injured. You know, I guess that's okay, but boy, what the hell just happened? And you had Dominic grab a double kendo stick from the ringside area where the timekeeper was and just start teeing off on Seth Rollins and Murphy. They got a few good shots in. It's just enough to whet your appetite, but it's a perfect lead into the pay-per-view of, I want to see more. I want to see Seth get what's coming to him. That's how you build a pay-per-view. That's what you do. You leave the fans wanting more, and I was left wanting more. I do want to see Seth get the holy hell beat out of him, not to the level of Randy Orton. Hey, so if you're into music creation, or maybe you're thinking about getting into music creation, maybe you're talented, and you just don't have the right connections. Well, that's where Global Star Entertainment comes in. They're looking for music content creators of all different genres. You can check them out on YouTube at Global Star Entertainment. That's the name of their channel. Or you can hit them up on Instagram at Global Star Remo. That's Global Star REEMO. So give them a follow on Instagram. And again, head on over to YouTube and check out Global Star Entertainment. Get your voice heard today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
And it's a shame that Randy Orton's doing so good, or Seth would be perceived, I think, even higher on the totem pole of heels. It's just bad luck on Seth's part for Randy Orton being an absolute white-hot heel right now. But it was a fine segment. Babyfaces outsmarting the heels is almost always how it should go, because you don't want to root for somebody that's just stupid. I mean, really, you just don't. And they got a couple of good shots in, which made it feel a little satisfying, a small measure of revenge. But you're thinking, oh, I want all right. I want the entree at SummerSlam. That's a business. That's a business, folks. They give you a little sample, and they want you to buy the whole kit. It's like getting a sample of chocolate or a sample of cologne, those cologne or perfume test strips, and then you want the whole thing. Same thing. Same concept. Same psychology going on. So I think it was well done. It's exactly how you want to lead into a pay-per-view, and I enjoyed it. All right, and now we switch a little bit back to the women's division. I touched on it at the very beginning of the show. And, you know, having Nia Jax back, I didn't see it coming. I was actually kind of hoping, you know, she'd be away for a little longer. And I know that people tear her apart for injuries and how many times she's hurt people. To be fair, the Kairi Sane injury, was that really her fault? Or was that Kairi Sane's fault for not covering and protecting herself? You could say, well, she flung her in there too hard. But that's what wrestling is. You want to make it look real, and she's not throwing herself into it. So Kairi probably should have done a better job protecting herself in the latest injury that Nia Jax just happened to be a part of. Now, that's not to say Nia Jax is not responsible for some of them. Certainly she is. But as a character, as a personality, injuries aside, because that's just low-hanging fruit, that's easy to attack her for, that, to be fair, is not always her fault. I just don't like the character. And I think it's a couple of reasons. One, I don't really know the character outside of she's a big woman. Okay, she's not like most girls. I get it. Okay, because she's bigger. Okay. Well, what else? What else does anyone know about Nia Jax? I'll wait. Does anybody know anything about Nia Jax as a character, as a person? Okay, she was bullied by Alexa Bliss in one of her initial storylines. Okay, so she's sensitive. Okay, but then she turned heel, and I think she's well-suited as a heel. And she's got pretty eyes, and she does the, you know, side-to-side thing with her eyes when she makes her entrance. What does that mean? I don't know. We don't know anything about Nia Jax. She is so one-dimensional. And I'm not saying that as an insult. It's just, let's do something here. If you're going to use Nia Jax, which I just really, really dislike her as a personality, but that's a compliment because she's a heel. I really don't like her, just her demeanor, which, again, whether that's her being her or her playing a heel character, kind of irrelevant. Both, to me, have the same effect. And I still want to see somebody just beat her down. But I don't know who she is. She needs more depth. She's got nothing other than her size to speak for her. Yeah, she cuts occasional promos, but they're very generic. They need to do something about this because Nia Jax is not progressing. She just shows up. She's a big woman, so that immediately sets her apart. But that's wearing thin fast. I didn't mean... pun. Is that a pun? I don't know. I don't know. I didn't really mean to make it a weight joke. It just kind of happened. But they need to do something. Nia Jax is extremely one-dimensional. She's kind of like Braun Strowman until Braun Strowman recently got a little more depth with who and what he is or what's maybe living inside. And with Nia, we don't know. So she's back. She attacks Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler comes back in her tag team match with Asuka against Bayley and Sasha Banks, who didn't have their best night, I will say. They can't have, you know, platinum albums every single night. They can have occasional silver or gold ones. And they were, I don't know, on the mic, just doing their usual obnoxious stuff. It was kind of just very routine. And having Asuka challenge for both belts, I mentioned this on my show on Sunday. I don't know if I'm a fan of it. That really, I think, is a disservice to any, you know, other women that are deserving of that championship opportunity, and Asuka sucking them both up. Is Asuka going to become a double champion? I hope not. I really hope not. I hope that belts remain around the waist of Asuka or of Bayley and Sasha. But I'm getting more and more concerned that they're not. However, pro wrestling logic. More often than not, this is certainly not foolproof, and I've been proven wrong many, many times over the last few years or more about my predictions of whoever gets the last laugh on the go-home show typically loses at the pay-per-view. That's, I would say, more often than not the case, but certainly not foolproof. However, if you're going to go with that logic, you would say, well, Bayley's going to retain at SummerSlam, and I think Bayley should retain at SummerSlam. Now, does Sasha Banks lose? Very good possibility. Very good possibility. You also have Payback a week later. Don't forget, guys, we have two pay-per-views in 2 weeks. That's crazy. So things can happen to Payback as well. We have to keep looking at that as we move along here. So, but the match itself, it was fine. I don't know what Shayna Baszler is supposed to be. Does anybody know what Shayna Baszler is right now? Is she a babyface? Is she a heel? Or is that antiquated? Yeah, apparently good versus evil is antiquated. That will stand the test of time until there is no more time. Anybody that says that to me immediately tells me you don't understand pro wrestling. Or what makes a good movie or book or TV show. Or in this case, pro wrestling. You have no idea. You want good versus evil. If you are a Yankees fan, the Red Sox are evil. If you are a Red Sox fan, the Yankees are evil. You could make... How many examples can you make of this? College football, right? Alabama, LSU. I mean, the list goes on. In TV, you have good and evil. In movies, you have good and evil. Pro wrestling. So the fact is, I know I went way out there, but my point is that Shayna Baszler cannot be ambiguous. She can't be middle of the road. We can't feel indifferent. I feel indifferent about Shayna Baszler. She's not a... There's no defined role. It's just heel versus more of a heel. Which is Shayna Baszler, heel, versus, to me, Nia Jax, more of a heel. So I guess I root for Shayna just because she's the lesser of two evils. That's why I would cheer for her, which is, I guess, not a great reason to. So they didn't make a definitive move. There was no defining moment of making her a babyface. Nothing. So nonetheless, she also shows up on Raw Underground. So that's the next thing I'm going to talk about. She talks about, or shows up at Raw Underground and tries to square off against Nia Jax, who made her presence felt. Nia Jax looked like she was going to square up and then bounced out of there. And Shane McMahon was saying, that's the one rule we have. You have to stay and fight. No, she broke the rule. She left. Well, so again, I don't know what to make of this, but are people really that interested in Shayna Baszler versus Nia Jax? Or are people more interested in Asuka versus Shayna Baszler? That was teased as well, because Asuka said, tonight I fight with you, but that's before I fight against you, something like that. So it is possible that Shayna Baszler does fight for the Raw Women's Championship against Asuka after she wins it at SummerSlam. It's becoming a real possibility. It's becoming a real possibility. And again, you'll hear my predictions this Saturday night. So Raw Underground continued for week three. You know, I don't know. I still don't know what to make of this. I don't know what to make of this. They aren't really doing anything to me other than they're making the fights, and I say fights in air quotes, competitive. But it is it's a pro wrestling style of true MMA. So what is the, I don't like that. Like, they should be their own genres. It would be like somebody in MMA mimicking pro wrestling. It wouldn't work. You'd get your ass kicked. I mean, you just would. Or you'd end up injuring or killing somebody by doing the moves that they do. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. So I don't know what to think of Raw Underground. It's kind of like a break. It's like a commercial break, if you will, during the show. And I'm mildly still interested, at least when people I know show up. And having things continue in this alternate universe with Shayna versus Nia. I mean, I was mildly interested in seeing that. Like, I'll give them that. I was actually like, oh, okay, I'd like to see this. And as Nia Jax, the heel she is, leaves, which she's a heel. I have no problem with that. I was at least left with the feeling of like, oh, I wish I saw that. I wish I saw these two square off, which by default leaves Shayna Baszler as the less of a heel. I'm not going to call her a babyface because she's just less of a heel. So, I don't know. This alternate universe of Raw Underground is puzzling to me because I don't know the shelf life. I don't know the end goal. Is it just an alternate universe? What is this? Is it a commercial break? At least they got rid of the dancing women. I mean, I'm sure there was some backlash for that. It was just weird. It was just weird. I still don't know what to think of this. I mean, I'm souring slightly. Like, I take myself down a tick because it feels very much like retribution. They're just kind of, they introduce something cool and new, and we're all like, yay. And then they go, you know, Vince is like, well, where are we going with this, pal? And the creative just kind of shrugs their shoulders like, well, I don't know. You know, he's supposed to know. Oh, no, I'm supposed to know. Like, it's almost as if someone came up with these ideas that Vince latched onto, and he didn't care about the longevity or long-term vision of it, and just goes, that's good stuff. Let's go with it. We'll figure it out along the way. Yeah, that's an awful way to do things. I mean, that's an awful approach to take in life or in storylines. You should have an idea of where you want to go. And I don't feel like they know where they want to go. Although Eric and Ivar seem to be finding a home, a nice home in Raw Underground. I mean, maybe it's for the people that got nothing else going on. I'm not sure. But, okay, Thunderdome. They're going to bring fans in virtually. And these big LED boards are going to have pyro and lights. And it's going to be a rave. I don't know. So has anyone explained this to anybody? How's this going to work? What fans? How are the fans selected? How many fans? Maybe I'm blind to this. I don't know. I just don't know how that's going to work. And it's going to give people, if it is true fans, and I'm going to talk about true fans. I'm not going to talk about the WWE trainees, the NXT trainees. I'm not going to talk about their friends and family that are brought to these events. I'm talking about true fans that would have paid a ticket to be there. Are they really going to give fans that much power to be able to yell and scream on a broadcast that millions of people are watching to say and do what they want? That is putting a lot of risk, a lot of liability on WWE's end, and a lot of trust in fans to sit at home and act appropriately and cheer and boo. And I mean, so let's be honest, they are going that way. There is way too much risk. For 3 hours, there is way too much risk to do that. So this is going to be pre-taped fans of just from like, you know, yesteryear where WWE or MLB is done, and they just take like, you know, computer generated fans. They can't do live fans. They just can't. So I'm very interested to see how this looks. At least it's in a new venue for the foreseeable future. They're in the Amway Center in Orlando. I've been there. Nice arena. Huge arena. It can hold, I mean, like 20,000 plus, I think. But it's going to be held by virtual fans or attended by virtual fans. Whatever the hell that means. And I'm glad that they're changing the venue. It is going to feel like things are going to start to return to normal a little bit when they get inside of an arena. Now they're in an arena. The next step would be actually bringing real fans back. But your guess is as good as mine whenever the heck that happens. So I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to whenever the mask mandate is lifted. That's when we know truth. Things are truly back to the way they were. When masks are lifted and you don't have to socially distance and all that stuff goes away, I think we can all say, oh my God, it's over. That's truly when it's done. And obviously when there's a vaccine and all that kind of stuff. So, all right. Well, that's it, guys. There's my Raw review. Again, tomorrow I'll be back with your nostalgia, wrestling nostalgia, debating on what I'm going to talk about tomorrow night. So if you have suggestions, email me at realwwpodcast@gmail.com, or you can converse with me on Instagram at @WWE_podcast. WWEpodcast.com has all of my shows, columns, and some other interesting things on there, along with a poll of how to improve the site. That's on the main page. You can also call us on voicemail or via email. Send us a voice file, and you'll get on the show, as you heard tonight. And then again, as I said, guys, lots coming up for this show. I'm going to be on the Botch Guy podcast, the Botch Guy YouTube channel. He's going to be on my podcast. And then Chris Van Vliet, I'm going to be interviewing him next Wednesday night here on the WWE podcast, talking about how he got to where he is, the current product and a bunch more stuff. So very excited to be able to talk to everybody and change things up and get ourselves out there more and start doing interviews, which was one of the things I wanted to do this year. That was one of my New Year's resolutions for this show. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. And as always, I'll talk to you soon.